Maybe I could read some from Acts chapter 4. And just make some comments. This was another time, different than Acts 7 and 8 about Stephen and the persecution, but there are a lot of some similarities. Starting in verse 18, well, you know that amazingly, the disciples did good, right? Silver and gold did they have none, and yet, in the name of Jesus, they raised up a man who couldn't walk. Hallelujah. And isn't it something that Jesus went out and did good, and he was punished and killed, though he be the most gracious and loving being that ever touched the earth. And so it is with the Lord, isn't it? So anyway, they were gathered together. They had to meet with the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin decided to threaten them, and so on. So in verse 18, so they called them and command called the religious leaders called the disciples and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what they had done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So, here was this little crossroads, right? Where were the disciples or apostles at this point had some decisions to make, and it was pretty clear that God approved of their decision to go ahead and continue to speak. And God blessed them, and God gave them power, and God shook the place where they were, And God gave them boldness. And I just, from my point of view, of course, every one of us was hit with the thing about Charlie Kirk. There's so many things, you might not agree with how he did things, or whatever, but he did seem to love the Lord and he was very active in talking with people. But, for you and I, we want to make sure we're looking to the best book to see what God approved and didn't approve and how he worked and what happened, right? And I think that, well, they met together afterwards and they prayed with great confidence and boldness. This is what we're going to do, guys. We're going to keep on, and maybe even more. Even though we've been told to be quiet, we're going to keep on. Whatever it is that God wanted them to do or say, for us, I don't know how all of you feel. There could be real fear. Certainly, this is a sign of things to come, what happened to Charlie Kirk. It's just the beginning. Some of you love to read the news. I encourage us not to go the political route. I know we're in a different age. There, they just had the Roman government, and then they had the religious leaders sort of allowed to have authority. And we have a democracy where we can vote, and we certainly don't, we don't condone as a country murder and destruction and all of that persecution, right? But the way to go is not going to be the political way. It's going to be the way of love, like in it says, the multitude was of one heart. Now there's something that's near impossible these days. Don't you think that God is going to cause the Christian multitude somehow to be of one heart and one soul? Yeah, one heart and one soul. It's one thing to be one heart. It's another thing to be one soul, don't you think? To really be, if as it were, soulmates. Like, we agree. We're not just fighting cats and dogs who have to love with Christian love, but we like each other. We're moving with each other. We're longing for the same things, God's working in us. He's correcting us. He's grinding out the rough edges. He's doing things. But this is all part, and I really believe that we're to stay focused on what happened in the early church, the whole attitude. The lack of political arguments, and I mean, I probably read about the political situation more than I ought. I don't know, but I'm always brought back to this, that it's not a political solution. And even Peter at that point, he didn't spend time trying to argue with the leaders. All he said was, we're going to keep speaking. You can judge if you think it's right. That's a strange thing for him to say, but go ahead. I dare you. Go ahead and whatever. But we are going to keep on. And, as you and I are reflecting on life after Charlie Kirk, it is by no means a time to start trying to analyze or explain away that God wants us to be, explain away that we aren't to be upsetting people, you know? I mean, yeah, whoever shot Charlie Kirk, he had issues. But didn't these guys here, didn't the religious leaders have issues, huh? Didn't the crowds, what did we hear? Crucify him, you know? Wait till that happens, and we're to love one another with a pure heart fervently and be of one heart and one soul, because that's what God wants. But the work must go on. The serving God with all our hearts is to go on, isn't it? Maybe you can ask yourself deep down, are you afraid? I'm not accusing anybody by any means. Mike and Kathy and Kathy Lust and Kathy Porowski, I don't know, that's three Kathys. Mike and I and our wives walked across this bridge called Deception Bridge. It was called that because of the river far below, if you've never been there in that part of Washington, where the waters were deceptive. And back when the explorers came, some of the, British and whoever, maybe 200, 300 years ago, they found the waters very deceptive. But this bridge is super high, and I don't know how you are about heights, but and it was one of these things where it had the metal so you could see through, and that kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies, as we might say. And Mike and I, we were the last ones to get off the bridge. I mean, everyone did great, very impressive. But I thought, assessing myself, this is kind of scary. This thought comes across to you, and wow, what if I fell? What if the bridge broke? All these things. But then so admitting. Not that I was having to admit how I felt, but we can ask ourselves, are we intending to tone it down a bit, our talk of the Lord? But you read in here, they dealt with thugs back in those days, didn't they? thugs. Unholy people, dirty people, wicked people. And yet, they just went on, and it was really glorious. And don't we love the Acts of the Apostles, because we see how they continued on. They continued on. And isn't it good that in the Acts of the Apostles, it wasn't just all wonderful stories about, well, not ju it just it wasn't just stories of healing and, people coming to the Lord. It was stories of persecution and people that were totally contrary, but they went on. And it's not wrong to find that we're afraid, or to realize we have doubts or fears or questions. But it's what we do at that point, isn't it? What am I going to do about it? Yeah, I'm a little afraid. I mean, do we want to? Mike kept telling me the towns that were totally leftist as we were driving through some of Washington. And we were looking at some artwork in a store, and he said, "That guy, he is totally leftist." And then we were driving along later, and he said, "There's his house, And I said, "Yeah, I can feel it's leftist." No, I couldn't. But just Wow, we're dealing with the riffraff of the world, and the worst comes to the surface, doesn't it? But the clear stance of the brethren here was, we're not going to lower our standard about the life of God in our hearts. We're going to love each other with all our hearts and with all our souls. And interesting, Peter said that now we, he says, now God has purified our souls. Have you thought about that word? He's purified our souls. And it's a little strange that Peter would say that, but that's what he said. And that's wonderful when you think of salvation and having our souls purified. I don't know, our emotions, our feelings, our mind, But think about these things. Yeah, and it's clear that Peter and John took the initiative as some of the leaders, and they stood up and they said, we're not going to be quiet. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about Jesus. And I'm sure that was a tremendous blessing for the common, or what can I say? Not the common, but all the brethren, right? The young, the old, seeing these leaders. And of course, it wasn't long before Stephen was persecuted, was, what's the word? Sacrificed. What's the word?
Martyred.
Martyred, yeah, martyred, of course, killed, hallelujah. And I feel that was so instrumental in Paul's life, my personal feeling that affected Paul, and he entered into a time of much questioning about, wow, so much for doctrine, but look at that guy, how he died. Yeah, I don't. I think he might have thought, I think it's wrong that he could dare to see God or to call out God like that. But I'm sure we already know that Charlie Kirk's death has caused many to say, this was really real. I remember in our church in California, way back, probably, I don't know, 30 years ago, one of the men who was kind of on the fringes challenged us and said, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about dying for Jesus. He said, and he doubted whether any of us was prepared to die for Jesus, as if we were just sort of wimpy guys, like our faith was just sort of sitting in rocking chairs waiting for Jesus to come. But I said, no. Now, we none of us knows how we will act if something horrendous happens to us, but no, we're in it for the long haul, aren't we? We're in it whether we're to be sacrificed, like Wesley said, or if I be, what did he say, caught up in that purple flood, speaking of martyrdom. We're here for Jesus, aren't we? We're to encourage each other that we're here for life or death. I'll never forget, way back I saw this documentary on the landing at Normandy in World War II, and they showed these, forgive me for not knowing the terms, there's some military men here or women. But the landing boats where the front door would open, right? And they would talk about how they heard the pinging of the bullets on these doors, and it wasn't long before they opened down and the soldiers had to go out and face this. And I remember seeing one soldier pat the guy in front of him, like you would before he goes out for the next football play, And he must have said something, "Come on, let's go. We can do this, But that's how we have to be, because we are facing bullets, aren't we? We're facing frightening things. We're facing madmen who have been deceived by the devil. And yet face them we must, huh? And trust God that we're in it. We're in it. We're surrendered to God, aren't we? We have given our lives to God. And I think the way that things are going, wouldn't you agree that so many things that the normal, if I can say that, the normal Christian in years gone by haven't had to face, and getting involved in jobs and homes and families, and none of those things are wrong by any means, but how easy to l lose sight of the urgency sometimes, huh? Of God in our midst, and the work that He's set us to do. And don't you love it when it says that after the persecution began in chapter 8 of Acts, that they all went out everywhere preaching the gospel, preaching of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And they just kept on. And this was after one of their friends had died, had been killed, had been stoned. Boy, he didn't deserve that. So, just a few more comments. Verse 23, being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that had happened. And so, with one accord, they raised their voices to God. What was this one accord? How can a body of believers pray with one accord? I mean, we've been in so many meetings where, yeah, it's not just one person praying. And it's not something where people can pray in unison, right? We're not reciting something written, whatever they call them, a creed. We used to do that in the Methodist church when I was a kid. Nothing wrong with reciting a creed if you all believe it, but they with one accord. So it wasn't their words that were of one accord. It was their heart, wasn't it? And from their hearts, we can pray. We can pray as a body. We can pray in a church. Everybody can pray together. I suppose every one of you have been in meetings in your life where everybody was praying at once. And it doesn't mean it's confusion. Perhaps verbally, perhaps analyzing the words, it could be confusion, but the hearts are lifted up to God. They were lifted up to God and like a fire, right? Don't you think that that was something God blessed and encouraged, where they said, "You are God." Amen. Praise God for Charlie Kirk's wife. I know nothing about her except that she's had a very positive response, and it isn't easy, is it, when everything might be hurting inside and there's a positive response. But they said, "You are God. You made the earth." Their vision was, their sense was that God, I remember one of the songs Wesley's written talks about all, the people of the earth like bubbles on the ocean. They're just like bubbles on the ocean. They're next to nothing I mean, of course, every soul is important, but this, fear, we don't need to fear all these crazy people. Maybe we'll die, maybe we'll live, but God is God and He made everything. And He's certainly with us. And he said, the question came up, quoting from the Psalms, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? Does that sound like today? Oh, of course, huh? The nations are raging. Maybe not quite yet, but there are plenty of people raging. 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 The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were gathered together. Isn't that going to happen? Sure it is. I have my own sense of what might happen, but I can't predict what's going to happen. We do know that at some point Jerusalem will be overrun. At some point there'll be a glorious testimony arising up from there. Amen. Despite Jerusalem being overrun. Yeah, but that's not a point of argument, but it's certainly a relig it's a spiritual principle, isn't it? Against the Lord and against his Christ. Praise God. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles. So, the ranks against God were rising and rising, rising against dear Jesus. Yeah, this is nothing new, is it? I mean, we know it's nothing new. If you've ever read, Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's not necessary that people do. It's kind of rough, but all these martyrs who died at the hands of horrible men. Yeah. Look on their threats. And their prayer was, grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Lord, stretch out your hand of love. Hallelujah. Your hand to heal. Amen. And the place was shaken. Brethren, wouldn't that be great? Oh, look. No, things aren't shaking here, but oh, brethren. No, oh. We want to be in that number, huh? The number of men and women who just lived and died for Jesus. Yeah. And basically, what's happening is nothing new. It's a shock. It's always a shock. It says holy, well, no, not here, in about Stephen, that holy men came and took up his body. That would have been a mess, huh? He'd been stoned. It would have been a mess. And yet they treated the death as in a sanctifying way, or in a way of sanctity, Hallelujah. And they moved on, huh? They moved on from chapter 7. They moved on from this chapter. They moved on. And we're here to move on, huh? Hey, move on. Whatever that means, whatever that means. Anyway, that's it. I wanted to share.
Thank you.